Today, the Yad Club of Los Angeles welcomes home its veterans of World War II. Station KFI joins in saluting these veterans whose services, whose sacrifices, and whose achievements we can never forget. In the next few minutes, we would like to recall some events of the past few years, recall through transcriptions made at the time. Remember December 8, 1941? President Roosevelt spoke to the combined houses of Congress and to every man and woman in America.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
Another event those within the draft age will never forget. The scene was the Departmental Auditorium in Washington. On the stage was a large fishbowl containing 9,000 capsules, which would be taken out one at a time to determine the order of the draft. Every young man in America and most young women were listening as Carlton Smith described the scene.
The president coming now from the back of the stage with his secretary and military aide, Brigadier General Edwin M. Watson. And here he comes into view of the people which have thronged and filled the Departmental Auditorium to overflowing this morning in order that they may hear his address. He will be introduced to this audience by Dr. Clarence A. Dykstra, Director of the Selective Service System. And now we present Dr. Dykstra.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
The President spoke to the men of America and their families. Then,
Secretary of War will now draw the first number.
There's the announcement by the President of the fact that Secretary of War would draw the first number. They're standing there visiting now. The officers are removing the paper covering from the large glass bowl, which contains the 9,000 blue, opaque blue capsules. A small paper blindfold is now being placed over the eyes of the Secretary of War. In the background, you hear the clicking of the cameras as they all record for their newspapers this most important event in the history of our country. And now the Secretary of War reaches in. He's asked to hold it for a moment, but he has in his fingers one of the small blue capsules which have been shaken and shaken and shaken so that no one can possibly know anything about the order in which they are placed in the bowl. He pauses for a moment, still blindfolded, being watched by the President, and holds in his fingers the blue capsule, which he has now withdrawn from the jar. In just a moment, it will. Now the blindfold has been removed. The Secretary is opening the capsule, and it is our information that he himself will announce that first number. We can Yes, he's coming toward the microphone, and we expect to hear in just a moment. Let's listen.
The first number drawn by the Secretary of War is serial number 158.
The gasp was from a mother whose son had number 158. A scene none of us will ever forget. Remember the year 1944?
Was the year of decision in Europe. General Dwight D. Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force, arrived in England on January 16th. The preparations for the invasion of the continent had reached the operational stage. In Italy, the Allied armies, deadlocked in the mountains below Cassino, leapfrogged forward to Anzio, 30 miles from Rome. For 17 bitter weeks, they battered their way to the city's gates. On June 5th came the news of the fall of Rome, and the president spoke to the nation, warning that victory still lay some distance ahead. At that very hour and all night, the English Channel swarmed with ships, 4,000 of them escorted by 11,000 planes. In 24 hours, 250,000 men stormed the Normandy beaches against the murderous fire of the enemy.
All day, the nation's millions, breathless with hope and fear, sat waiting and praying with beating hearts. That night, the president's voice was heard in millions of American homes.
My fellow Americans, last night, when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far.
Remember how in the darkest hours of the war there was one voice from overseas that always gave us hope, even when it offered only blood, sweat, and tears.
Therefore, tonight, I give you a message of good cheer. You deserve it, and the facts endorse it. But be it good cheer or be it bad cheer, will make no difference to us. We shall drive on to the end and do our duty, win or die. God helping us, we can do no other.
Those are men and times we can never forget. Here are men we can't forget either, much as we try. We recall only three, starting with
Adolf Hitler.
Probably the most hated man of his time. Most of the evidence indicates that Hitler is dead now. But dead or alive, history can never forget nor forgive you, Adolf Hitler.
Paul Joseph Goebbels.
You, too, are beyond justice, Paul Joseph Goebbels. You were a contemptible little figure as a man, but you were dangerous with your lies and your libels and your propaganda. It is indeed ironic that so puny a figure as yourself should have had so much to do with the building of the Superman myth, Dr. Paul Joseph Goebbels.
Heinrich Himmler.
That would be stopped for einen schönen Klang, wenn es ihn ist.
Ah, Himmler, the devil will welcome you, for you are of his kind.
Now, happier memories. The week of August 12th, 1945. It was a week marked by tremendous developments.
The atomic bomb hit Hiroshima.
Russia entered the war against the Japs.
And Japan gave up the fight. But it wasn't until September 2nd aboard the mighty battleship Missouri in Tokyo Bay that the actual surrender ceremony took place. Facing the representatives of the defeated Japanese and with Allied delegations looking on, General MacArthur said,
"It is my earnest hope, and indeed the hope of all mankind, that from this solemn occasion, a better world shall emerge out of the blood and carnage of the past. A world founded upon faith and understanding. A world dedicated to the dignity of man and the fulfillment of his most cherished wish for freedom, tolerance, and justice."
At the end of the war, however, the President of the United States warned us that the struggle for freedom, for peace throughout the world was not over. He said,
"This is a time for great rejoicing and a time for solemn contemplation. With the destructive force of war removed from the world, we can turn now to the grave task of preserving a peace which you gallant men and women have won. It is a task which requires our most urgent attention. It is one in which we must collaborate with our allies and the other nations of the world. They are as determined as we are that war must be abolished from the earth, if the earth as we know it is to remain. Civilization cannot survive another total war."
We have presented a few memories of World War II. Men and women, times and events, hopes and sorrows. Things we can never forget. Nor can we forget the men and women who made ultimate victory possible. That is why we today join in honoring these veterans, members and guests of the Ad Club of Los Angeles. We salute you.